And so we've been in this series called Waymaker for the past few weeks, and we've been hearing how God is a waymaker. How many of you guys have seen God do incredible things in your life? Come on, that's real weak. How many of y'all have seen God make a way out of no way in your life? Amen. And so we've been talking about how Jesus is our waymaker, and in particular, the past few weeks, how through the resurrection of Christ, we see God making an incredible way. And last week, Pastor Kirk talked about living the dream and how God oftentimes makes a way, and he does so in very uncanny ways, in ways that you wouldn't sometimes expect. And I love that because, you know, sometimes we could be expecting God to move in a certain way. And then when he doesn't, we kind of experience disappointment and we think that God is not for us. And it wasn't that God wasn't trying to bless you or trying to open up a door and make a way, but he just wasn't making a way the way you expected it. Because he wanted to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. I want you to know, God is not in the business of meeting your expectations. He is in the business of exceeding them. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. And so I hope you've been encouraged throughout the course of this series. And today, we're going to continue on in our Waymaker series. But, you know, in honor of Mother's Day, I'm actually going to have Ariel, my wife, she's going to help me come preach today's sermon. So can y'all put your hands together? Bless God for her as she makes her way up here. Amen. I'm going to give you this one. We got a malfunctioning chair. And so as a good husband, I don't want my wife to fall. We'll get you. We need a mic real quick. There you go. But as we've been in this series, Waymaker, it's been awesome because we've been talking about just how God makes ways out of no ways and how he does great things. And one of the things that I really hope all of us have received through this series, if you've been alongside of us in this series, is that you not only have you been encouraged, but that God has given you a greater perspective in this series, that you would see that he is for you, that he's not against you. And so as we're kind of a few weeks removed from Easter Sunday, but you know, in the life of the believer, every weekend for us is Resurrection Weekend, and we live these resurrected lives. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 28, and it's a little bit of feedback up here, guys. But Matthew 28 verses 1-10 is where we're gonna spend some time today, hearing what God's word has to say. And we got it for you on the screen in case you don't have a Bible, and you can follow along there. But this really, it takes us back to resurrection morning, the first, you know, moments in which Jesus raised back to life, and just some very powerful things that took place on that day. And so in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. And the angel told the women, 'Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, and he indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you.' So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. And just then Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus told them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.'" And so if you are taking notes, we're going to call today's message a new way of life. A new way of life. Tell the person beside you, it's time to upgrade your life. To help you live a new life. You know, as we've been talking about how Jesus is our way maker, the powerful thing about this story of the resurrection is his resurrection paves a way for us to be able to experience a new beginning, to experience a new life. And some of you all have come in here today, you know, trying to figure out, man, how can I start over? Like how can I move forward in spite of some of the things that have happened? Some of us are walking in here with guilt, and you're walking in here with shame. But what the resurrection of Jesus shows us is that no matter what has happened prior to this moment, and no matter what has taken place in your life, no matter what you've done, no matter the mistakes you've made, no matter the sin that you've committed, no matter what it is that you have done, the good news of the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus is that in Christ Jesus, he wants to give you a new life. Amen, somebody. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5, that any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. And I love this story because what this story shows us is that truth. It shows us the essence of a new life. And before we kind of dive into Matthew chapter 16 or Matthew chapter 28 verses 1 through 10, I want to go to Mark chapter 16 verse 9. And this is really going to shape so much of our message today. So we're going to study Matthew 28 for a few moments. But Mark chapter 16 has some very powerful words. It says this: early on the first day of the week, meaning that was Sunday, after he had risen, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. So here's what's happening, right? So Mark kind of records this personal encounter that Mary has with Jesus. Matthew kind of gives us a little bit more detail. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all telling the same story, but they're telling it mainly from different vantage points, so some of them have a little bit more details than others, but they're all pointing to the same truth. Jesus is alive. That's what you need to know. He's the main character. It's all about Jesus. But what's interesting here is that the Bible says that he first appeared to Mary. And the reason why that's so powerful is because what it shows us here is that the women in the Bible were the first to see Jesus. Not the disciples, not the guys that were rolling with Jesus day after day for 3 years of ministry and life. Not the disciples who saw Jesus on the Mount Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. Not the disciples who saw Jesus feed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. Not even Peter, who said, even if the others deny you and fall away, Lord Jesus, I will always be with you, ride or die. But on the first day, on the resurrection morning, Jesus doesn't appear to them. He appears to Mary and another Mary and a few other women. Why is this so huge? Because what you got to understand is that in this first century context, women were considered to not have any value. They were looked at as less than. And so for Jesus to appear to women first shows that he is changing the game. There is a shift that is taking place. There is a massive seismic shift and a new era that Jesus is ushering in. And what he is ushering in is this, that he is for all people. He is saying, I want to bring in a new way of life. That I know that people have oftentimes put limits and created divisions and created walls and created ways of separation. But he says, what I've come to do is to tear them things down. What I've come is to tear down the barriers that exist between people, or to tear down the preconceived notions that people have of others. What Jesus is doing is he is ushering in a new way of life. And the reason why this is so important, and the reason why you need to understand this, is Jesus is a way maker. And it doesn't just mean that he's providing. It doesn't just mean that he's protecting. It doesn't just mean that he's opening up new doors. But what it also means is he's ushering in a new era. That he wants you to experience a new type of life. I don't know about you guys, but like, there's times in my life where I'm like, man, I need to upgrade in my life. Like I'm tired of things being the same old. Like, I need God to do something new in my life. Am I alone or am I good company? Like, how many of you guys want God to do something new in your life? Amen, somebody? You know? And that's what Jesus wants to do. He's breaking down all these types of barriers so that they can experience this new life, so that ultimately we can experience this new life. In other words, I want to say it like this. Jesus wants us to experience a better way of living. Like, he wants us to live in the way and in the fashion that he wants us to live. And so I want to highlight a few points here. And if you're taking notes, I want you to start writing these down. That Jesus in us living this new life, here's what he wants us to experience. He wants us to experience, number one, a level of closeness to him. Closeness. Closeness. Everybody say closeness. Closeness. When you look at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 28, It literally says, as the angel visited the Marys and has this conversation, tells them, don't be afraid. He rolls back the stone. He says, Jesus is not here. Go tell others. And the Bible says that as they are running to go tell the other disciples, they got fear. They're trembling. They're shook. They're trying to figure out what's going on, but they're overjoyed at the same time. Here's what the Bible says. Then Jesus shows up. There's a constant narrative in Scripture where Jesus shows up at the most unexpected times in your life. I want you to know, family, that Jesus has a way of showing up. And the reason why he shows up is because of this. And this is going to blow your mind. He wants to be close to you. Let me say it another way. He wants a relationship with you. So it says, just then, Jesus met them. Jesus wants to have this deep, intimate relationship with you. Jesus doesn't want religion with you. He wants relationship with you. He wants you to actually know him, not know of him, but actually to know him, that he wants to be close to you. It's indicative of the fact that God wants to be close to you. The Christian faith is all about God wanting to be in relationship with you. That's what differentiates our faith from any other faith. This is why the Christian faith, that's why Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. In other words, he says, there is no other way. Yeah. I'm not only the way, I am the way maker, and vice versa. Yeah. And the way is this pathway to experiencing this deep, intimate relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say it like this, and then we're going to get real practical. That God is more concerned about having a relationship with you than receiving religious activity from you. He is more concerned about being face-to-face with you than he is about getting something from you. And some of us, like, you have maybe a misconceived view of God. Like, you think that it's all about what you can do for God. The faith is not about what you can do for God. The faith is all about what God has done for you by giving his son Jesus Christ for you. It is about God giving this great gift that you did not deserve, that you did not earn, that you can never work for. It is God saying, I want to be close to you. I want to be in relationship with you. And that's so important, especially for moms in here today, because sometimes you can maybe go through life, and not just for moms, but all of us in here, we can sometimes go through life feeling as if, like, there's a disconnect from God, or feeling as if God is not for us, or feeling as if God is not near us. But I want you to understand something today. Even though you may feel like you are far from God, God is not far from you. Yeah. And I don't care what you have done today. I don't care what kind of baggage you bring in here. And all of us got baggage. Some of us just got nicer baggage than others. Some of us are carrying Food Lion bags. Some of us are carrying Louis Vuitton. But it's all baggage at the end of the day. Amen, somebody? And in that baggage is a bunch of trash. But here's the good news of what Jesus does through his resurrection. He shows up. He comes close. He says, I want relationship with you. So Ariel, my wife, my darling, especially mom and a wife, how has having a growing relationship with God been key for you to be able to have a successful life?
Successful life. Define success. No, I think it's important no matter who you are. So, like, this is Mother's Day. We're going to talk about moms, but it's not just for the moms in the house today. It's for you if you are not a mom. It's for you if you are a man. But I think we can't compartmentalize our lives and say, like, okay, this is the Christian part of my life, and then this is the non-Christian part of our life. But when we truly dial into our relationship with God and realize that we can't do any part of our life without God being there with us in the middle of whatever it is, then that helps us to look at our life in a different perspective. And to draw on his provision and him being a way maker. Like, someone in our church made us these bracelets. Do you have your bracelet on? Made us these bracelets that say, Jesus the Waymaker. I'm like, what does it say? Jesus the Waymaker. And I wear it because it reminds me that Jesus is the Waymaker. So in the middle of whatever is happening in that moment, God is the Waymaker. But we can't draw on him as a Waymaker if we don't know Jesus. Like, if we are not close to Jesus, then there's no strength. There's no ability that we're pulling from. We're just pulling out of ourselves. And if I pull out of myself, it's going to be hot trash every day. I'm yelling at everybody. Everybody's going to be angry. No one's going to see Jesus.
Yeah.
If I pull out of Ariel.
Oh. Don't pull out an Ariel. Pull out Jesus.
No. But one of the scriptures when we were preparing for this and just talking about it, Philippians 4, 5 through 8, which is my life banner cry. I was at a gas station one day, you know, like you stop at a rest stop and they have like, oh, what's your name? And here's a scripture that goes with your name. And the scripture for my name was Philippians 4, 6. And so it has been something that I always just go back to. But Philippians 4 through 8, and we'll focus on verse 5. So it says, let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so there's so much in life that we can worry about, that we can have fear about, that we can be anxious about. We can just get so concerned with, okay, what's the next step? What's the next thing? Like, I'm not really jiving in my current season of life. So like, let's just get past this and go on to the next one. And we can get so focused and worried about what's going to happen. But the Bible says, do not worry about anything, like anything. Yeah. So the one thing that you worried about yesterday, like, don't worry about that thing. But submit all of our requests to the Lord, and his peace is what we get in return for that. And so just reminding myself that whatever it is, it can be small. It can be your kids having issues at school. It can be the thing at work that you just can't figure out. It could be, how am I going to eat tomorrow night? If we submit all of those things in prayer to God, God will give us his peace.
Yeah. One of the things that's so powerful about this story, I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, is it talks about how Jesus met them. Now, the reason why that's so important is because, like, the women were coming to the tomb to just, like, pretty much give honor to Jesus. Like, they were pretty much coming, for lack of better words, to come bring him flowers. They weren't expecting to see a risen Savior, even though Jesus had told them this multiple times before he died. So they're in this place of sorrow. Matter of fact, John, a few weeks ago, we preached it's a message on Easter Sunday, I think, called When You've Lost Your Way. And we talked about how Mary Magdalene talks about how she was sobbing at the tomb. She was weeping. She was distraught because of what had just happened. And many of us have experienced those type of feelings where you've been sorrowful. Some of us here today, like, man, you're experiencing a bevy of emotions today because it's Mother's Day. And you're finding yourself experiencing not a lot of highs, but a lot of lows right now. And maybe this week has just been filled with a lot of lows, and you're experiencing kind of what the women were experiencing prior to them having this moment with Jesus. But the good news of what Jesus does is when he draws close to us, and in him drawing close to us, he brings us comfort. He comforts you right where you are. 2 Corinthians talks about how God is the God of all comfort. And the reason why the scripture that Ariel just read was so powerful is because at the end of verse 5, I don't know if you guys saw it, it says the Lord is near. And so whenever the Lord is near, what's also going to come with the Lord is who he is. And the essence of who God is he's a comforter. And when Jesus comes to the ladies, notice what he says. He says, greetings. And in the original language, the Greek translation of the New Testament, that word actually translates to be glad, rejoice. Like, so they're going from this place of sorrow, but now because Jesus has stepped in, they're walking into this place of joy. And I want us to understand today, family, that when Jesus steps in your life and when you allow him to get close to you and when you have this deep, close relationship with him, you experience the comfort of God. I want to say this again because I think some of us in here are coming in here like, and you're feeling uncomfortable right now. And what you need the most from God is not even a financial blessing. It's not a new relationship. It's not a new car. Not a new promotion. All those things are good. And I'm not saying I have to ask God for those things. I'm not saying not to request those things. But what you need most from God is his presence and his comfort. What you need most from God, the thing that really helps you out the most is the ever-present help of God himself, that he comforts you when you're going through difficult moments. He comforts you when you're going through a divorce. He comforts you when you're battling discouragement and when you're battling depression, when you're battling sorrow. Just like the women were here, Jesus shows up and he says, greetings. And then later on, he says, don't be afraid. I know your life has been filled with so much fear, but you don't have to worry about anything. Why? Because I'm here. And if you got Jesus in your life, family, you ain't got to worry about anything. And I know that sounds so cliche, and I know that sounds, it's easier said than done. I'm going to be real. It is easier said than done, but it does not change the fact that it is still true. That when you got Jesus in your life, and when you're drawing close to him, and he's drawing close to you, you don't have to worry about anything. Like, I can put it all in his hands. I know that he got everything under control. So if my kids are having difficult moments in school, Lord, you got it. Yeah. I'm not going to stress over this. If I'm experiencing some troubles in my finances or in my emotions or in my finances or in relationships or on my job, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to put it in your hands. Some of us are like, well, Pastor, that's really nonchalant. You got to have your hands in it. No, when you get your hands in, you mess stuff up. Jesus is the master carpenter. He is the potter. We are the clay. Let's let him do his job. He majors in making masterpieces. And so how do I begin to experience this closeness to God? Practically, man, spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer, doing what we're doing today, gathering. This is why it's so important for you to be able to gather together on a Sunday, because it's in these moments where you're drawing close to God, where you experience his presence in a real, tangible, and powerful way. And when Jesus shows up and steps on the scene, it is him saying, I want to be close to you. I want a relationship with you. I don't want just religious activity. I want a relationship with you. Like I've talked to so many people through the years who say, like, oh yeah, I go to church. My question is, do you have a relationship though? You can be in the building, but not be in God's family. God says, I'm concerned about you being my family. If you get in my family, the building will come second. But it's all about being closeness, which then leads to now this second point. And I think this is where it gets really, really interesting. Notice what verse 10 says in Matthew chapter 28. It says, when they came to him, they took hold of his feet, which means in order for them to take hold of his feet, that means they got to be close to him. You can't grab somebody's feet far away. Amen? Like, you got to be close to him. So they're worshiping him. They're in proximity with him. But then it says, and then Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. And most of us in here just sped by the first four words of that verse. He told them. Them. Why is this so profound? Because what he's emphasizing is, here's the second point that we want to kind of give to you guys. Community. A new way of life. God wants you to live and with a closeness to him, but he also wants you to live in community with other people. Have y'all heard that saying, it's just me, myself, and I? Have y'all ever said things like, I don't need nobody. I'm going to just do, it's Beyonce, right? Right. I'm going to just do me. How many of you guys have ever said that before? I'm going to just do me. Y'all don't want to raise your hands in here because you don't want to be honest. It's okay. It's all about me. I don't need anybody. Or how many of you guys have heard this saying, don't trust anybody. That's not true. Yeah. Well, Pastor, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The Bible also says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, carry each other's burdens, which means that there has to be an element of trust. So notice when Jesus talks to them, he doesn't talk to them individually. He talks to them corporately, collectively. They are in community. These Marys have gone to the tomb. They have gone, they have experienced sorrow together. And now they're experiencing joy together. And what this emphasizes is that God never intended for you to do life alone. He intended for you to be in community. He intended for you and I to be together. And it's interesting because Jesus shows up oftentimes, if you look all throughout the different resurrection accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he typically shows himself not to one person, but to multitudes of people at the same time. Which means this, that there are only certain things about God that you will ever experience in community. That's why Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered, there I'll be. That Jesus wants you to experience community. He wants you to be in relationship, not just with himself, but he wants you to be in relationship with other people. And the reason why that is so important is because we can live insulated and isolated lives. So we talk about it all the time here at our church, you know, how we'll be in conversation with people, you know what I mean? And you could be just going through just the worst week in human history. And somebody will ask you, how are you doing? You're like, I'm doing good. No, you're not. Your life is trash right now. It is ugly. It is bad. You are suffering. You are smiling to hide tears. Nobody wants to be honest today. I can say, yeah. But God says, I want you to experience the blessing of community, man. I want you to experience community. So how important is it having community for you, especially as a mom, as a wife, as a leader, so on and so forth? Like, what has been the impact of community in your life? And I want you to speak specifically to the moms on this one and to the women on this one.
Community is uberly important. I remember when we planted the church, 6 years ago?
4 years.
Four years ago. Almost five. It feels like forever. It was a season of my life where I felt like I didn't have community. So I had friends, but having graduated college and people move away and your friends are all in different places, I have friends who I can call, but I didn't have anybody I could call and be like, let's go to the movies tonight, right now. It's like, oh, you're 3 hours away. In 2 weeks, let's meet up and do something. And so it was just this like loneliness. It's like you have a husband, you had an infant, a baby, but I felt alone. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
And so it's not like we planted a church so I could have friends, but in planting the church, it was, okay, I want there to be a community of people. I can't be the only person who feels alone in this, right?
Yeah.
Like I can't be the only a functional woman who works a job and has a kid who feels like she has no friends, right? But it's hard to admit that. It's hard to raise your hand and be like, I don't know anybody. I need a friend.
Yeah.
Somebody be my friend. And you're out of your element of where you're just casually around people. So I really wanted the bridge to be a place where women felt like they had another woman they could go to.
Yeah.
And I've seen the benefits of that, because when you're not in community, when you're kind of just doing the thing on your own, you're really all in your own mind. So everything you're doing, you're just looking at it from your perspective. Like you're just angry because your kids are making you upset today. Your husband made you mad. He don't want to go see the movie you want to go see. And like, you're just angry. It's just, you're angry all the time.
You don't want to go see Avengers?
I don't want to go see Avengers. And I didn't have to go see it because he has community.
Thank
you, Jesus, for the
thank
men
the
who went to my husband to go see
yes.
the Endgame. Because I didn't want to go see it. But when I want to go see a movie I want to go see, I can call Marlena, and me and Marlena can go see the stuff that our husbands don't want
to
go see.
I'm not going
and we
to
can
see
have
none
fun,
of the stuff that you want to
rich,
see.
Crazy Asians, and just have fun. Or Crazy Rich Asians, whatever it's called. But to have just a group of people who I can be real with. And I think that's the biggest thing with community, is a lot of times women will be like, oh, well, I can have friends, but all my friends are guys because, you know, like, I just don't roll with girls like that or whatever. Any women have said that, or you've heard a girl say that? Okay, some hands. And usually our discomfort with hanging out with other women is because they challenge us in a way that a man never can.
Mm.
So they see something in us and they may speak something and you're like, nah, you just being petty, whatever, fill in the blank. But a guy's never gonna see that in you. So my husband is never gonna see some of my like angry, hurtful, deceitful ways, but a woman's gonna spot that out in a minute.
Yeah.
And I see it with our kids, with our daughter. I can see stuff in her that I'm like, she deceitful, and we need to get this out of her right now. At 3 years old, I cast it out in the name of Jesus.
Cast it out.
And he'll be like, she's just so cute.
She's
and I'm like,
so
that's not cute. That was deceitful.
Daddy's
like,
girl.
Let me show you how this little seed spurs into her being like a crazy girl at 16.
Yeah.
And so
and like, I see it with the boys.
And you see it with the boys. And so he'll get on the boys about stuff where I'm like, no, he's just too, like, he's so cute. Cute. And he's
like
no. That's gonna get you in jail one day.
Quick.
And let me show you.
Quick.
Beat it out of you now. And so even
not beat it
that,
out of
literally.
But we gonna lay hands.
But we gonna lay hands.
We gonna lay hands.
In a gentle, aggressively gentle way.
We gonna pray and pop.
Pray and pop. Or pluck.
Some of our parents, you need to be set free from that. You need that anointing in your life. You need the prayer
don't
and you need the
ride.
Pop in Jesus' name.
You need an equal balance between the two. It's important. And so I just, there is beauty in being transparent with women and being free. And so I'm thankful that like here, I'm not just the pastor's wife and I have to be like this person who sits on the front stage of the front chair and like has no life and y'all don't talk to me and I'm just like the cute one on the front row. But I can be the cute one on the front row who also has a life and real feelings. And I can be honest and be like, today actually is not a great day. So I'm just gonna be honest about the fact that I'm not happy with my kids right now. And you know, and no one is looking at me like, oh my goodness, my salvation is hinged on the fact that, you know, she's angry and now I gotta be, you know what I mean? And so we're all real and are all going through things together. And it's so comforting to just be able to be free and to just be real and transparent and have people who are like, I wanna pray about you, pray with that for you, or I'm gonna fast about that with you, and can know the journey and not just the highlights at the end of it.
Mm.
So it's not like, oh, 6 months ago, I was in this state of depression, and you're like, girl, I ain't know that. I was with you 6 months ago, why you ain't never say nothing? But if we're walking through this together, then I get to celebrate with you at the end because I know the history of the realness of emotion that you were feeling just 2 weeks ago. And so now when you're shouting about being free from it, I'm shouting because I saw how low you were.
Yeah.
And I think we just rob ourselves of seeing the joy that can come with other people celebrating with you because we get so insecure and just so fearful of what are they gonna think if I say this thing, which is all the enemy.
That's good. I think a lot of times we probably deal with this, you know, where we like don't wanna open up, we don't wanna be in proximity with people, we don't wanna be in community, and so we end up suffering in silence. And we end up having to carry things that we were not meant to carry by ourselves. So Galatians chapter 6, I mentioned it earlier, verse 2 says, carry one another's burdens, because in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And some of us are not experiencing the fulfillment that God wants us to experience the way he wants us to, because we are carrying burdens that we're not meant to be carrying by ourselves. They're meant to be carried by other people. And so there's the element of God and blessing in our life that we're missing out on because we are staying insulated and isolated to ourselves, right? Guys, we do the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, we put up these fronts and we put up these shields where we don't want to be open and honest. And so, you know, we'll be struggling and just going through a whole lot of crazy stuff. And we just think that we got to be tough. We got to be macho. You know, we can't be open. You know, real men don't have feelings. Well, that's not true, because Jesus was the realest man ever. And he cried at somebody's tomb. You know, real men don't cry. No, Jesus cried. You saying you're more of a man than him? You know, like, so like, no, like, God wants us to be in community. He wants us to experience the blessing of community. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another. To one another. That's community. You always see in the Bible this scripture of one another, this communal type of language. And pray for one another so that you may be healed. So in other words, there are certain things that you will not experience until you enter into community with other people. Like, you're praying for healing. You're praying for God to make a way. He's like, I did make a way. It's through your relationships. But if you never open up and you never become transparent, then you will continue to miss out on the blessing in which God wants to bring forth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, I love this verse from the New Living Translation. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Two are better than one, because they both can help each other succeed. So I don't know if you noticed the language in all three of these verses. It talks about one another, each other. One another, each other. Mary and Mary, they had each other. They had Jesus, but they had each other. God wants you to be in community. And the way we do that here at our church is through what we call our connect groups. And right now, we're kind of in the middle of a break, but we're going to start them back up in June. And when we start them back up, man, you need to be in a connect group. You need to be in community where you can just be honest and be transparent. Amen, somebody? And just begin to share. It's a place where you can take off the mask. You put on fronts all day long at work. Come on, like, y'all want to be honest today? Like, you put on fronts, and but man, you need people where you can just be around and take off your mask and be honest and be transparent. Now, you can't be honest and transparent with everybody, because everybody's not assigned to your life to handle your mess. So you need to be very selective over who you reveal yourself to. Someone was like, no, that's not true. You realize that Jesus didn't reveal himself to everybody at one time. He had Peter, James, and John out of the 12. He said, y'all other nine, y'all stay down here because y'all can't handle this. Yeah. So there are certain people that God has called to your life that will be in those, what I like to call those holy of holies moments. You got three types of relationships. You got them holies of holies relationships. They're the close people. You got the inner court, so they're close, but they're not as close as the holy of holies. Then you got the outer courts. We're associates. Facebook friends, you know, Instagram followers. But you need community in your life. You need biblical community. This is why it's so important to be connected to the local church. This is why it's so important for us to have these deep relationships. So how would you, like, what would you say to the mom right now or to the man right now who feels alone in their journey, who's like literally trying to carry everything themselves, trying to be Superman, trying to be Superwoman?
Well, if you're here, you don't have to be alone. So there are other people in this room who want to do life with you, but you have to make yourself available. So you can't just come in, sit down, worship, go out, and then be like, man, I feel so alone. Well, of course you feel alone. You came to church alone. You left. You didn't say hi to anybody. You just want somebody to come up to you and be like, hey, you. And then you're going to feel singled out and weirded out. And so we have to make ourselves available. We have to go through Growth Track and get plugged into a team and join in on that team and talk to the people you're serving with on that team and be in a group and talk when you come to the group. I have led groups where people, you know, just sit there and then leave and then sit there and then leave. And it's like you're never going to feel like you're a part of something if you don't make a decision to be plugged in to where you are. Yeah. But it can be having, you know, we have three young children and I'm home with them throughout the day, and it can feel like your life is just running on a hamster wheel. Like, I'm just changing diapers and I'm feeding people and I'm you know, disciplining people, and I'm trying to get them to go to sleep. This morning, I was chasing a 2-year-old around the house, trying to comb his hair, and I was like, I will not chase you around the house. And
my husband was like,
you're chasing him around the house right now. And so you can feel crazy. It's like, how many times do I say the same thing? I'm losing my mind. But to be intentional with, like, God sees where you are, and one, God wants to meet you where you are. So I realize the days when I get up earlier before everyone else and spend some time in prayer, spend some time in worship, journal, which is big for me, I feel closer to God. And then I'm able to look at everything else in context. My kids are not my community. Like, they are beautiful people. I love them, but they are not my life. My whole purpose is not wrapped up in being their mom. One day they will leave our house and will have their own lives, and I want them to freely be able to do that. And so, but I have to fight for me in this season. I have to fight for my relationships in this season. And so we as women can sometimes just feel like I have to give so much out, but I have to fight for who I am. Like, I cannot lose Ariel in the midst of everything else happening in my life. And so, is that answering the question?
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. I was about to go a whole different way.
Yeah. And you've been blessed to have relationships with other women to help navigate through those complexities.
Yes. And so, like, the inner courts, the holy of holy friendships that I have are women who will call me out on different things. Like, no, that was wrong. You need to go do this. Or one of my friends just recently was like, when's the last time you had a vacation? Because you need a vacation because you sound crazy. Like, there's just a whole lot going on and you just need a vacation.
Yeah.
But if you're not around people and you're not sharing what's really going on in your life, then she doesn't know to tell me that I need a vacation.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And so just having groups of people around, and it could be one, it could be two, it don't have to be 12 people.
Yeah.
But just, okay, and as adults, we have to be intentional with saying, okay, I am going to be intentional with being this person's friend.
Yeah.
It sounds elementary, but like, no, I'm gonna be this friend because Ariel likes to be alone. So I'm fine with going to the mall by myself, going out to eat. Like, I don't necessarily have to call somebody to come with me, but because I know that I don't wanna look up and be alone, I need to intentionally plug in with people. So I say, okay, no, these people are people I'm going to intentionally reach out to. And even though I feel like I can do it by myself, I am going to make a decision that I'm gonna call this person to see if they can come with me to go do whatever the thing is that I'm gonna do. And that's how you begin to develop this closeness with community.
That's good. You mentioned something about purpose, which I think is interesting, because in verse 10, notice what Jesus says to the women. He says, don't be afraid, go and tell my brothers that I'm going to go ahead of them and I'm gonna meet them in Galilee. Notice he says, go and tell. So the first preachers and missionaries carrying the good news of the gospel was the women. I find it to be very interesting why these brothers, they in a locked room, scared. Literally, they were scared. Like, they were afraid that what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. And so, but yet Jesus, like, meets them, and he gives them this sense of purpose, or what I want to call, this is the third point, and we're going to wrap it up, calling. You notice how in the Bible it oftentimes uses this word calling to define your purpose, like the thing that God has created you to do. And every single person in here, you've been created by God to do something that only you can do. And so many people oftentimes live their lives devoid of their calling and devoid of their purpose. So you think that your purpose is your job. Your job is your purpose. Or like you just said, being a mom, like, this is my life's purpose. Well, what happens when your kids grow up? Now I've lost my purpose. Or that my purpose is my job. So now what happens when I lose my job? Now I've lost my purpose. Your purpose is so much bigger than that. And one of the things we got to understand is that God is the giver of purpose. So notice that Jesus is the one who says, go tell my brothers. Go tell them. Go tell them this good news about my resurrection. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says. We are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God did not make you on accident, and he has a purpose that he wants you and needs you to fulfill during this time in your life, in your generation. There are things that only you can do that nobody else can do. And as long as you miss out on fulfilling the purpose, then now what happens is people now miss out on experiencing God's best for their lives. So notice he says, go tell them so that I can meet them. Like, there are some things that people will only experience in their life as a result of you walking in their purpose. Like, none of us would be here today if God had not only spoke to people about planting this church, but people decided, I'm gonna be obedient and walk in this calling and in this purpose. There are certain things that God has in your life that he wants you to experience that are directly connected to your purpose. And so what does it look like to fulfill God's calling on your life where, like, you are? Because it's easy to kind of be like, okay, well, how am I supposed to fulfill my purpose, you know, on my job? You know what I mean? And by the way, let me tell you what your purpose is. I don't know if you guys are ready for this or not. This is going to save you so much time. You don't have to go to Barnes & Noble today. You don't have to go on Amazon and try to Amazon Prime some stuff. Like, find me books on purpose. You know what your purpose is? To tell people about Jesus. Some of you are like, that's not deep enough. I see it on your faces. What? Your purpose is to glorify God. It's to point people to him. That's it. That's what Jesus tells them to do here. Go tell. Do you know what he tells the disciples in Matthew 28 later on? Go make disciples. Go tell people about me. That's your purpose. And so now you may be like, well, if that's my purpose, how am I supposed to do that on my job without getting fired? I can't just go around waving a Bible saying, you need to trust Jesus, because that's going to be a pink slip. You know what I mean? Or better yet, you know, you talk about, you know, as a mom, being at home with the kids, like, how do I point people to Jesus, maybe even as a stay-at-home mom?
Yeah, I think we have to be cognizant of what our purpose is, what our calling is, because our assignments might change. So I worked in a job, and so in that point in my life, I was looking at things compartmentalized, so it wasn't like, okay, so my purpose is to tell people about Jesus, but I can't tell them about Jesus right now because I'm going to lose my job and I need this money, so we're just going to tell people about Jesus like after 5. But when you look at your life as just my whole life is fulfilling my purpose and my whole life is fulfilling my calling, but the how I fulfill my calling might look different in different places, then we can be purposeful no matter what our assignment is. Yeah. And so for me, instead of looking at things and saying, like, there's no way I can do da-da-da-da-da, saying, God, how can I? God, show me how I can fulfill my purpose or my calling in this segment of my life and bring you glory in the middle of it all. Yeah. And so that with your kids, you know, if I'm not cognizant of what my purpose is, people suffer, because then we're just angry, we're just recklessly doing stuff, nothing makes sense, and people suffer as a result. But if I'm intentional with, okay, my purpose is to, you know, to worship God, to bring God glory in every area of my life, and I have these children were not a mistake. It's not like, oh God, yeah, I could do so much more if I didn't have a 5-year-old or a 1-year-old or whatever. When we started the church, I remember being very frustrated that we started a church with a baby. I was like, you know how much easier this would have been to start a church if we didn't have this little beautiful, however old he was, 1-year-old, yeah, running around? Because I could get so much more done. I could connect with so many more people. I could serve on teams with my whole heart, but I gotta like run after him, make sure he don't hurt himself, jumping off a stage and doing crazy stuff. It was just crazy. Yeah. But in the middle of that, it was like God was like, did you think I didn't know that you were gonna have a 1-year-old, or that, yeah, he was gonna be this type of 1-year-old in the middle, yeah, of what you were doing? And so I think sometimes we think that the issues of our lives are like the details are like casualties. It's like, oh man, well, I can't. It disqualifies me because I don't have XYZ, or for whatever reason, this doesn't work. And it's like God called us even in the midst of knowing this is what our life was gonna look like. Yeah. And so instead of looking at the things in your life as, oh, I can't because I'm only this many years old, or I have these young children, or I'm caring for a parent who's ailing, or whatever that thing is, looking at it, okay, God, you still called me, so how do I do it within the context of my life right now? Because realizing the seasons are going to change, and I won't always have 3 young kids, and if I wasn't cognizant of looking at my life in the context, when the season changes, then I'm going to be like, well, now what do I do? Because I only knew how to operate when I was a mom changing diapers, and now I don't do that anymore, so now what's my purpose? I struggle with just not wishing away the years to get to when it seems like the right time, because I really, yeah, believe it's never going to seem like the right time. Like, there's, yeah, always going to be something, yeah, that's going to be like, well, no, I can't because of this. And God's like, I called you in the midst of that. So you can do what you feel God calling you to do in the midst of what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I think that's good. You mentioned not wishing away things, because it's so easy to kind of minimize where we are. So if I get more money, then I'll be able to walk in my purpose and my calling.
Simple stuff, like I could tithe if I had a bigger job. Yeah. Like, if you can't tithe now, you can't tithe when you have more money, because you're just, right, gonna find more things to do with the money you got.
To buy. Now you're gonna buy a yacht, you know what I mean? And so, like, so being able to realize, like, man, wherever God has me, I can walk out my calling. So, like, if you're a teacher, man, God has placed you there to be a missionary in that environment to help shape the lives of young people. If you're a stay-at-home mom, like, God has placed you in that season and in that venue to make a difference and to begin to lay a foundation for your children. It's a beautiful season. If you are, you know, somebody who just works a 9-to-5 job, you know, if you're a cashier at a grocery store, and you can be like, oh, I sure wish I could just do something greater with my life. Do you know how many people you're coming in contact with? And God can use you to speak a word into somebody's life right where you are, right while you ringing up somebody like me buying Teddy Grahams, just only Teddy Grahams. I will go to the grocery store just to get Teddy Grahams. Help me, Lord. Stronghold over my life. But God can use you right there. So, like, don't minimize where you are because you think that you have to be in a greater place to be used by God.
Go ahead. And then it's also, I think, really important practically to dial into what your interests are. Yeah. Because we can lose sight of just that in the mundaneness of life. And so Growth Track is an awesome opportunity to be able to do that with step three, because it allows you to just see how God wires you. Like, God created us all uniquely for a reason. Like, we need Christians at the cashier register. We need Christians as engineers and Christians as moms and Christians in all these different places. And so dial into how the passions God gave you. And so if there's an interest that you have in painting or drawing or dance or whatever, dial into that and then take time to be able to explore and invest in those interests that you have, because then I feel like you see your purpose just unfold even more and you start to just realize the fullness of life and not just like the mundane tasks that we have to do.
This is good, because this is all about a new way of living. That we begin to live with a closeness to God. Some of us are here today, man, and you know, the relationship, your relationship with God is not as deep as it could be. God says, I want intimacy with you. But then it's also about living in community. You know what I mean? Like, maybe we've been living our lives so isolated and insulated from people. But today I believe God is saying, like, I want you to live the way that I want you to. I want you to live in community so you can experience my joy, so you can experience my power. But I also want you to live out my calling that I have on your life. And I believe that when we begin to function in the way that God wants us to function, man, our lives will be so much better. It doesn't mean that they'll be perfect, but they'll be more fulfilling, and they'll be more satisfying, and they'll be more significant. So then you'll be like, man, I don't need all the money in the world to experience fulfillment, because I'm walking out God's calling in my life. I'm in community. I got people around me that care about me, that I can be honest, be transparent with. I'm close to God. And if I got Jesus, man, I'm good. And so being at this place now where we're living this life, I want to read the scripture just as we just prepare to close in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It says that he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Jesus not only died for you, but he was raised for you. And he was raised for you so that you and I could live for him. And the life that he wants us to live is much more of a fulfilling life. It is more of what this is more than what this world can offer. It is more than maybe what you came in here believing today. Like, God has something great that he wants to do in your life. And that might mean, you know what? Like, I got to start being around some people. It might mean, you know what, I need to go to Growth Track right after service today to find out what my calling is and begin to walk down this purpose and this plan, in this path, to begin to discover the gifts that God has given me. It may also mean, like, you know what, I need to get closer to God. Like, you came in here today and like, your relationship with God is maybe non-existent. Maybe you have a very religious type of relationship with God. It's very transactional in nature. Like, if I do this for God, then he'll do this for me. Right? Have y'all heard that saying, when praises go up, blessings come down? Yeah. That's not true. Blessings were coming down way before praises ever went up. And the reason why praises go up is because the blessings have already come down. And so the reason why I'm able to get close to God is because God got close to me. The reason why I'm able to draw close to him is because he first drew close to me. And what I want us to, and I really believe that some of us here today, like, you came in here with a transactional type of mentality of God. Like, you look at Jesus in this light of, like, man, if I do this, then he'll love me more. If I don't cuss for a week. Some of y'all have said that. You said that this week. If I don't tell a lie once this week, I'm good. I'm going to see so much of God loving me. And God's like, I loved you even when you were lying through your teeth. I loved you even when you gave that person the bird on your way to church this morning. So I still loved you. My love for you has never changed. You just haven't understood the reality of my love and how my love works. My love is not based upon what you do for me. It's based upon who I am to you. And I believe that before you can even tap into community, before you can even tap into the calling, you got to tap into a relationship with God. You got to be able to experience the resurrection for yourself, which is what the women here experienced. They experienced Jesus for himself. The Bible says that they grabbed his feet and they began to worship him. It means that they were close to him, that they had a relationship with him. And that's what God wants for you more than anything else. He's like, hey, let's just start at relationship level. Let's just get right. And I don't care about what you did. He says, I don't care about your sin. I don't care about your mistakes. I don't care about what your past is. I don't care about what your history is. I care about you. I want you to be in relationship with me. And I believe that some of us are here today and you're not in a relationship with God. And you've been missing out on so much of the life that God wants you to experience because you don't know him. You know of him. You've heard of Jesus. You've heard of God, but you don't know him personally. He says today, hey, let's make it official.